I saw one of the bits from the Bible that started as a mistake, started as a glitch, where you say to Reed, look, we've already done Noah's Ark, and you stumbled over your line, right? Do you remember that?
That's right, yeah. So the line is, look, I sure hate for something to happen to that stupid little ark. So now at one show, I stumbled. I said, I sure would... and Reed comes out and he goes, yeah, I bet you sure would... which got a huge laugh.
We have done Noah's Ark!
We have not done Noah's Ark.
Man, you just don't remember you spaced out.
Look, I'm going to prove before this show's over that we have not done Noah's Ark.
You and why? Sure hope nothing happens here in this little stupid little ark.
Yeah, you do hope that nothing happens to my Noah's Ark.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or tablet or phone. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 525, 10-year highlights. Happy New Year! It's Tuesday, January 3rd, 2017, as I record this, a day late for my regular schedule of posting podcasts on Mondays, but it's taking me at least 10 hours to sort through the previous 524 podcast episodes to choose the 10 most representative audio clips, one from each of the last 10 years, to represent what have been some of the most memorable standout moments from each year of the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. I started the podcast in the first week of December in 2006. So in choosing these clips, I went by calendar year. And what you just heard was an excerpt from episode 25 from way back on May 18th, 2007. It was called Follow the Mistakes, in which Matt Croak and I talk about the philosophy that informs a lot of what happens on stage for us. And is really representative of the kind of podcast I really hoped I would be doing, a kind of backstage, behind-the-scenes look at how we create the shows of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. There were other lovely episodes in that first year, in 2007, where we met many of our current and long-standing performers, like Dominic Conti, Mick Orphan, Brent Tubbs, and we talked about things that happened, like in episode 15, we talk about the earth moved when an earthquake hit the theater in Walnut Creek, California, where we were performing, or what it's like to have two shows running. We talked with Liz Fitzpatrick, our wardrobe goddess, talk about having two shows set up and ready to go backstage. We also talked in episode 52, the end of our first year in 2007, about writing Completely Hollywood, which is a show we wrote in 2005, but we were still working on in late 2007. We also talked on Christmas of 2007, episode 56. We talked about, what are we anyway, the Reduced Shakespeare Company? Are we a theater company? Are we a comedy team? Are we a rock band? How do we define ourselves? It was a conversation that occupied us early in my stint with the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and it's something we still return to. So I was sort of finding my way in that first year of the podcast, figuring out how to frame and shape each episode. Sometimes that first year, I crammed so many unrelated topics into a single episode. It was hard to kind of focus on what you were listening to. I think I got better in the following years. In 2008, I had many great choices. In episode number 66 was called Kirk or Picard. I believe it was our first venture into that age-old question of Star Trek geekery, and it was the first of many Star Trek related podcasts. Podcast number 70 was called More from London, and we recorded it live in the Captain's Cabin, which anyone who saw the British Shakespeare Company at the Criterion Theatre in London knows about the Captain's Cabin. It's where the actors drank after the show. It was behind the theatre, down a kind of an alleyway, and it's no longer there. So to hear that conversation coming from the Captain's Cabin was a great reminiscence for me. Episode number 72, we talked about the authorship question, about who wrote Shakespeare's plays and the various arguments about that a controversial topic. Episode 74 was the first time we talked to our friend Adrian Scarborough, the great English actor who has performed in so many different media and is an English national treasure. We talked about writing all the great books abridged. We met Matt Rippey. We met Phil Proctor from the Firesign Theater in episode 89. We talked about the loss of Matt Croak's wife, Lisa Croak, who died in 2008. We had a long conversation with Daniel Singer, the founder of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, in episode 90. We talked about our rehearsal process in episode 95. There were a lot of great podcasts in that second year in 2008. But for me, the most representative one was episode number 83, called Notes for Dustin. And Dustin Sullivan is an actor who's worked with us many, many years now and was performing in All the Great Books Abridged, a show he had done many, many, many times, but for the first time was actually performing the show with Reed Martin and myself, the two authors of All the Great Books Abridged. And so it was fun to do a little audio drama to begin that particular episode.
This is an SOS. SOS, this is Dustin Sullivan. If Noah Brody or Ryan Dietz or Mick Orff or Michael Faulkner, if any of you guys are out there, I don't know if you remember me. I played Matt, or the student teacher in All the Great Books Abridged. I perform with you guys. I'm in San Jose right now, and I'm performing with Reed and Austin. And they're terrible. I really need somebody to come help me. They give me notes all the time. Every performance during intermission, they're like, hey, Dustin, why don't you change this? Hey, Dustin, why don't you fix that? And I'm like, guys, I've done this a million times, and I think I know how to do a really good performance. And, oh, God, they're coming. They're coming.
Hey, Dustin, what are you doing?
Oh,
what's
nothing.
What's going on?
Oh, nothing.
Hey, what are you doing?
I just wanted to see what kind of music you had on your iPod.
What? You didn't?
Is that on? Oh, that's weird.
You're seeming very nervous.
No, it's cool. Man, I love performing with you guys. Yeah, I don't feel like I tell you that enough.
You feel the same way. Although, you know that moment in the first act in Don Quixote? Turn that on for a second. There's an adjustment I'd like you to make.
The episode highlight of 2009 was really not that difficult to choose. There were some great episodes that year. We went to the inauguration of President Barack Obama in 2008, and so we did a podcast from there. We talked to Mick Orff, the dependable Mick Orff, who told us about how he gives everybody in the Reduced Shakespeare Company our own special Mick names. We talked to our friend Mike Burton, who was a chief of staff for Vice President Al Gore in the Bill Clinton White House. We interviewed actor Pat Finn about his great friend Chris Farley and what a loss that was. We talked to the president of the board of the Lamplighters in San Francisco, a great Gilbert and Sullivan company. We met Paul and Storm, the great geek rock duo. We talked about how All the Great Books Abridged had been censored in Wisconsin in episode 157. And we talked to Ron Severdia, the founder and creator of the Shakespeare app, which is an indispensable app that you must have for your iPhone, iPad, or Android device. It is the complete works of Shakespeare in a searchable database on your phone with lots of other great features. We also had a very not safe for work episode called Reduced Sex Scenes, episode number 148, in which mostly Matt Rippey, but a few of us talked about the awkward sex scenes we've actually had to film. Thankfully, we've never done any sex scenes on stage. But really, the highlight of 2009 was a no-brainer. I got to interview one of my childhood heroes, Weird Al Yankovic, in episode number 133. And all along the way, I figured out well, how could he possibly be my childhood hero when he and I are roughly the same age? But in this particular excerpt, Al is talking about his amazing band. And if you listen very carefully, you could hear me almost making Weird Al Yankovic laugh.
And my band, I have to say, with no bias whatsoever, is one of the best bands in the world. I've been with them since the early 80s, and they can nail any musical style you can throw at them, everything from Zydeco to gangster rap, and they do it very well. So, you know, it's that is part of the joke. Like, you hear a song for the first time on the radio, and you're thinking, oh, I'm listening to whatever, the new Eminem song, and it's like, wait a minute, something's not quite right here.
Well, and how cool is it that you get to say, my band?
My band, yeah, it's pretty cool.
Very cool.
I try not to refer to, like, you know, here's my guitar player or my drummer, because I know that Keith Richards once belted Mick Jagger in the face for referring to him as my guitar player.
Is that what happened to Mick Jagger's lips?
That could be.
I always wondered about that.
A case of vintage two songs, wanna buy a Kleenex used by Dr. Dre.
Dr. Dre.
On eBay.
Wanna buy
The highlight of 2010 was so hard to choose, I have declared a tie. That we had a lot of great episodes again this year. Talked to Peter Marietta, the creator of showrunner of The Wizards of Waverly Place. We reduced Lost for Sky TV in Britain and talked about the backstage procedure of that. We interviewed Eric Stonestreet, the Emmy-winning actor from Modern Family, who was the first celebrity that I know who actually came up to me and said, "Hey, when are you going to put me on your podcast?" We talked about the Shorty Awards. We talked to author Jasper Ford about his series of books. We talked with my mother just a month before she died about her book, the ballet book. We talked to Twitter CEO and Modern Problems in Science improv comedian Dick Costolo in episode 181. Talked about our rehearsal process in episode 193, Reduced Rehearsal Barn. We talked about the opening night of The Complete World of Sports Abridged at Merrimack Repertory Theater. We talked a lot about our process. But the two highlights for me from 2010, each demonstrated distinct strength of the podcast. One, it was episode 186, and it's called The Conti Beat. It was from June 27th of 2010, and in which I interviewed Dominic Conti about the fantastic dorkalogue that he does at the end of Completely Hollywood Abridged, which he basically improvised one night. It was really one of the great things we've ever done on the podcast, really to take a single solitary moment from one of the shows and really drill down to how it was created and what it means and how it works.
What I love too is that we had talked about as a subtext is that originally conceived, your character was the writer. The Hollywood screenwriter, Reed was the director, and I am the actor and diva, and I'm also playing the diva. there was this unspoken thing, which actually I think is now spoken as in the kind of revisions that we've done, is that the character he's trying to write commercial, but then he finally begins to write the stuff that he really knows, and so the subtextual thing that came out was that whole monologue that you do now is really completely 100% autobiographical.
From the heart, too.
From the heart, yes. Yeah, very real.
He really does take the director's note of, like, you know, stop writing from your head and then write the things you know. And he does, comes out with this monologue of, like, of what it was and how he is hopefully triumphed his dorkiness.
Yeah, and that's a recent change in the first act where I pound my finger against Dominic's cranium and say, "Don't write what you know," and then I put my hand on his heart, "Write what you know."
I do talk about like that, you know, I've got these revenge fantasies, and then I think that pays off again in the second act, so that works out, you know.
Yeah. Well, tell so
it's not just jokes, people.
He's in a nice white dress, and I'm all like an usher and everything, and I'm leading him to the chairs. Oh, and I remember, man, I have these milk duds in my pocket, and they're all warm and gooey, like I like them. So I'm leading him to the chairs, man, and just so he can sit down, I put the milk duds on the chairs, man. I put the milk duds on the chairs. That was a long time ago, man. I was kind of a dork back then.
And the other great moment from 2010 was our personal guided tour of the Folger Library. It's episode 191. We recorded it on August 2nd of 2010. And Gail Kernpaster, the then director of the Folger Shakespeare Library, and Georgiana Ziegler, the head reference librarian, gave us a guided tour of the Shakespeare vaults at the Folger Library. And it was a real great behind-the-scenes look at some stuff that people don't really get to see. But the best part was that at the very end, Dee Ryan, my wife, was with me, and she asked this question.
If you were going to write a movie, a Da Vinci Code movie, what would your plot be?
Well, I don't know what Gail thinks. I mean, my holy grail would be to find an actual manuscript of a Shakespeare play
in his hand.
And there are, I mean, it's not impossible, because there are some from his contemporary in Spain, Lope de Vega. There are various Lope de Vega manuscripts. I've even seen some of them. They're little booklets, just like little notebooks, and you wrote the play in it, and, you know, that's how it was done. And I think that's the way Shakespeare did his. We just haven't found any.
It would be so cool.
Georgiana Ziegler's answer was the inspiration for us to write William Shakespeare's long-lost first play abridged. Later that evening, after we had had that tour, Reed and I were backstage talking about what if we just wrote a long-lost play of Shakespeare instead of waiting for it to be discovered. So that's just too important a moment not to share with you now. And one of the great unplanned glories of the podcast is that it actually inspired one of our shows. 2011 had a bunch of great episodes that really also really showed the range of the podcast, from behind the scenes conversations about how we act and write our scripts to interviews with actors and directors like Scott Bakula and Ian Gomez or Kenny Marks, who was involved with the creation of the controversial musical Spider-Man Bring On the Dark. And in 2011, we got to do we did a live 30th anniversary webcast with Daniel Singer and Jess Winfield, two of the founding members of the Richard Shakespeare Company. And on the actual 30th anniversary of the RSC's very first performance, we did a live webcast from the very site in Nevada where that first performance took place. But I think the signature highlight from 2011 is my interview with Oscar-winning actor J.K. Simmons back on June 26th, 2011. J.K., of course, won the Oscar for his performance in the movie Whiplash, but he has done years of work in theater and on Broadway, and was telling me the story about how he was auditioning to play a neo-Nazi skinhead on HBO's first great series, the prison drama Oz, and how it was kind of a difficult decision.
I almost talked my way out of the job because I did have that fear of, this is the first thing that millions of people are going to see me do, and, you know, if it's this, then I don't want to be stuck playing the bad guy of the week the rest of my career, you know. I want to be able to be as versatile as I have been in theater these, you know, 15 or 20 years. And so Tom kept reassuring me, oh, you know, this character, it's going to really, you know, we don't have scripts yet, but we're, you know, this character is going to, at first we're going to think he's this sort of befriending our everyman character, our protagonist, and it's going to be down the road, he's going to really have a journey, and then we're going to find out what a sick bastard he is and what a nasty guy he is. And that journey ended up taking like 8 minutes of the first episode before I was tattooing my cellmate's ass. But then the incredibly good stroke of fortune that happened after that, not only was Oz, you know, a big critical hit, and a really, really, more importantly, a great thing to be a part of. But the next fall, you know, a month after we finished Oz, I got a call to do Law and Order and out of the blue. And I had auditioned for a different part, and they wanted me to play the recurring shrink on Law and Order. So I was the psycho and the psychiatrist, and, you know, and a lot of people were seeing both.
Yeah.
And it was the perfect balance at that time so that I didn't start getting pigeonholed.
2012 had many great podcast episodes as well. But for me, 2012 will always be the year that my friend Chris Stevens, the American ambassador to Libya, was killed in the embassy attack in Benghazi on September 11th. About 5 weeks after that happened, I attended a memorial service for Chris in San Francisco City Hall, attended by dignitaries from all over the world. And afterwards, I had dinner with my friend Steve McDonald, who had been Chris's and my college roommate in our junior year, and who remains today a very, very good friend. Steve and I were reminiscing about Chris in our slightly inebriated ways, talking about the memorial service.
No, it's absolutely true. It was an amazing thing to see the outpouring, and it was both gratifying and just made you sad that we lost such an amazing guy. And, of course, we were struggling to find some criticism for this guy. We were trying to find some fault in his personality or his behavior.
Unfortunately, you found a few examples.
We did. We found a few examples. Some of them wound up on the cutting room floor, but but there weren't very many.
The last time I saw him was in 2010. I know the exact date was on July 7th, 2010. It was my son's birthday, and we were in Washington, D.C., and Chris came to see us perform at the Kennedy Center that night. And then we went out for a beer afterwards, sort of in the neighborhood where they were putting us up. And we were at the bar, and we had one beer, and I said, look, do you mind coming back to the apartment where we're staying? Because I know Dee would love to see you. I'd love you to meet the kids. And I know Reed Martin, and my partner, and his wife would love to meet you as well. So he came back to the house, and he... to the apartment,
And we kept him up. We stayed up on the roof of this apartment building in the summertime in Washington, D.C., drinking until about 2 or 3 in the morning, and we made him talk about himself, which is pretty rare.
That is not easy to do. You're the only one who succeeded.
After Chris had been appointed ambassador, I made him promise to let me interview him about his job for the podcast. Unfortunately, we never got to have that conversation. The highlight episode of 2013 is also the most downloaded episode of 2013. It's episode 346, called Theater in Prison, and it's my interview with director Kate Powers, who works with an organization called the RTA, Rehabilitation Through the Arts, which teaches and directs productions of Shakespeare and other theater in maximum security prisons. And on this particular episode, we talked about her production of Our Town in Sing Sing Correctional Facility. Our Town is a play that for my money is overdone and possibly overrated, but her production there seems like it gave it a brand new context and an important new value.
And one of the guys who was one of the strongest opponents to doing the play said to me last week before our dress rehearsal, he came over and he said, "I just want you to know that I was wrong, that this play is so beautiful, and that you can coach my team anytime." He also told the actress that came in to play the role of Emily Webb, he said to her, "We cannot continue to be friends if you keep making me cry like this, because I have a reputation to uphold."
The highlight of 2014 happened very early in the year. Again, many great podcasts from 2014, but 2014 will always be remembered as the time that our show, The Bible, The Complete Word of God Abridged, was briefly banned in Newton Abbey, Northern Ireland, creating an international furor that for about 36 hours made me the most famous face in the United Kingdom, or at least just in Northern Ireland. The show was briefly banned and then put on. You can hear all about what happened in episodes 373 and in 374. But once it was put on and finally performed, there was much gratitude and relief that the performance had been able to continue, particularly from Newton Abbey Council member Billy Webb.
I say that this is not only good for the people of Newton Abbey, this is good for the people of Ireland, this is good for internationally, that we were able to ride this out over the past week and a half. And what I want to do is thank you for sticking with us so that we could get to the point tonight where we could come along and enjoy a play. Very educational, very entertaining, and very humorous. And I want to express my thanks as chair of Newton Abbey Artistic Board that you stuck with us till we got to this point tonight.
Amongst the many highlights from 2015 was my, so far, only interview with the original Broadway cast of an original Broadway musical. I got to talk with Brad Oscar, Heidi Blickenstaff, and John Cariani, three of the original cast members of Broadway's Something Rotten.
8 times a week, it doesn't matter how big the house is, it doesn't matter if we have one of those houses that we're like, oh, wow, they hate me tonight. They don't hate you tonight. They're just, they're smaller, they're quieter, whatever. It's a group mentality. But every curtain call we've ever had, you know, you feel that they've had a great time. You know that, you know. So at the end of the evening, to leave the theater and feel that, I think, as consistently as we all do is an amazing thing. And everything I ever dreamt of, my God.
Well, and I've known you for over 30 years. Yeah. And even then, when you were 5.
Yeah.
And
with hair.
And you've wanted to do musicals on Broadway as long as I've known you. And you get to do that now, which is amazing. But not only that, you are now associated with a song extols the musical on Broadway. And that's, for my mind, f***ing amazing.
Take it from me. They'll be flocking to see. Your starlet won't quit. Big hit. A big hit musical!
last year of 2016 was filled with so many great interviews, many of a Shakespearean nature, probably because we were working on William Shakespeare's long-lost first play, Abridged. I got to talk with director Jessica Thebus about her production of Richard III. I got to talk to Ronan Hatful, who was writing his dissertation on the reduced Shakespeare company, good heavens. RSC actors John Schwab and Tiger Reel, who are developing their own projects. John is the director and author of the book and the website The Curtain Call. And Tiger had directed an amazing sounding performance of The Merchant of Venice. Got to talk to Ken Ludwig, the author of Lend Me a Tenor, and also How to Teach Your Children Shakespeare, about his work and our history going back almost 30 years. Got to talk to Aaron Posner, the author of such Chekhov piss takes as Life Sucks and Stupid Effing Bird, and who directed what for me will be the definitive production of The Tempest. He co-directed that production with Teller of Penn & Teller at Chicago Shakespeare Theater. But the highlight of 2016 has to also be its low light, which is when we chatted with Sam Williams from the Flying Karamazov Brothers, a group that was an inspiration to many of us in the Reduced Shakespeare Company. And Sam had become an online social media friend and a personal friend as well. And so his death just a few weeks after we recorded our podcast hit us very hard.
When I first joined the Karamazovs in opening for the Grateful Dead was at the end of 1981, beginning of 82, at the Oakland Auditorium. We were performing on the platform out in the middle of the audience in this auditorium. The auditorium, of course, was jam-packed. The audience completely covered the floor and then on up to the furthest reaches of the stands. And sometimes when they're a better audience, you do a joke and when it's like 6,000, 10,000 people or whatever, it takes time for the sound to get out there. It's a wave of the joke going out and a wave coming back in of the laughter or whatever. And so that takes a little getting used to.
Particularly with an audience that's so stoned, they're already getting it 3 seconds late.
It was like a 10-second lag for the response. No. That particular show, we were doing this routine called Whoosh, where we all run in from various places to go on stage and begin juggling. I was going to jump down from the stage and run through the crowd. Mickey Hart and Billy Graham were going to come out and talk and introduce us. And I asked them, so what's my cue when I come out? Well, when we say the Flying Karamazov Brothers. And so they start talking a little bit. And they say, we're going to have, for an opening act, the Flying Karamazov Brothers. And I start running out, for the whoosh sound. And they were still talking. But I didn't know. It seemed like it would be a total letdown if I stopped. So I just ran right through them, between the two of them, and jumped out, and it was a sea of human beings standing there without an inch between them, and I was screaming, "Move!" My feet brushed the back of somebody's head on the way down, if you're listening, I am so, so sorry.
It has reminded me again of the importance of the podcast, just simply to get have a record of so many of these great voices and artists talking about their work. It's just too precious to have not to have records of them speaking about their work. And I'm so glad that if nothing else, if the podcast isn't quite as funny every week as I want it to be, or is quite as entertaining or as insightful as I hope it can be, that there is a value that we are documenting and preserving the words and the voices and the work of so many great artists and just fun, funny, wonderful people. That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your favorite podcast moment from the last 10 years via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also engage with us and other fans on Facebook or Twitter. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. You can also follow me on Twitter @AustinTichner. Thanks as always to webmaster Matt Rippey, line stumbler Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Zachary Stockton. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to everybody who has spoken with me over the last 10 years. And thanks in advance to all the people who will be talking with me in the future. And finally, thanks, of course, to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 525, 1575ths of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less. So much less. So much less. So much less.